Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky. Keep your head.
Keep your
you need to do is remain optimistic about how your life is going to turn out, especially if you're serving the Most High. Shalom, brothers and sisters. Happy Holy Hump Day, because you are set apart, and that's what makes it Kodesh. I am Elder V. You're listening to Inspirational Wednesday here on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by Al Mahoida at Last Ministries House of Israel, a deliverance assembly. We are part of the NorCal Hebrew Association as well, looking to make things better for our people as a whole. And we must minister to the whole man. Right now, we do focus on the spiritual aspect, working on different paradigms and different outreaches. and efforts to take care of the physical man as well, because our people are truly in need, in desperation. And how can they hear what you're trying to preach and teach to them if their stomach is empty, if they're freezing, if they're cold, if they have no shelter? The Bible said, such as ye have done unto the least of them, you've done also unto me. So that's what we strive to do. We've been put here to be a light and to minister to our people first and foremost, and then to get the whole world to understand that the oracles were given to the Hebrew Israelites to give to the other people to learn the statutes and commandments, come back to them and repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And that's what we strive to do. But today we're hoping to motivate you just to go a little bit further. Just to go a little bit further. Let's go before our Abba in prayer with his prayer to our Father. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So be it. Amen. Say shalom and good morning to Deacon Abiram. How you doing, Brother D, this morning?
I'm doing fine. Excuse me. I cleared my throat there. I'm doing fine. I'll just pray for those people who are still on the plantation today, that everything goes fine, that they're under the Most High protection while they're there, because you know that we go through a lot of things when we're out there working in the world, you know, especially if they know who we are. So I just pray everything goes fine with them and that the Most High blesses them.
We're already getting reports today that there were 4 bombs dropped off. And if those bombs had went off, this would have been a cataclysmic day for a lot of people who are living in fear and amongst the wicked. And I'm bringing that up because it's going to be a topic today. Today we're going to talk about watch what you say and have no fear. However, these bombs were actually sent to former President Obama's house, former President Clinton's house, George Soros' house, who's the man that's paying all these people to do these false narratives like Black Lives Matter. And they sent the bomb to the CNN office, and they were able to capture those bombs before they were detonated and went off. We don't know if that's false or true. I'm still analyzing the story. But I could just imagine the fear that would have gripped the hearts of this nation and these people had those bombs gone off. But we're in perilous times. And I do know for a fact, according to Bible prophecy, 2019 is going to be a cataclysmic year because Satan is trembling. And we're drawing close to the end times.
He has but a short time. And he knows that. So
he knows
wrap things up.
He knows better than most of you all know out there that the time is very short, because we're not so inclined to really discern, break down Bible prophecy. But we have these minions that work for HaShatan and serve Lucifer within these Freemasonic halls that have taken out the time to break down precept by precept the biblical prophecies. So they're the ones that are panicking because they know what their end is going to be. They're just trying to take as many people with them as possible. And ours, like I said at the beginning of the show, our goal is to try to snatch as many of you out of the clutches of hell as possible. You all need to know that your eternal soul is at stake with every move you make and every word you speak. And I truly don't want to see any of you go to hell or the lake of fire. That is a promise that if you don't serve Yah, and if you deny Yah, and you break these commandments, you do have reservations to a hot resort full of flames. And this is going to be an eternal vacation. So we implore you to take it very serious when the word of Yah comes out and we preach the word and tell you things to try and help you to come back and save your life.
If I may add something else, if I can add something else too, you know, as we duck and dodge these slings and arrows that are coming to us, we got to be mindful to to give thanks to Yah in everything. When things aren't going well, you give thanks to Him. You know, let Him know that, you know, you're not just down for a season, you're down for the long haul. You know, you give thanks to Him. I give thanks to Him when things aren't going well, and because, you know, everything in his time and in His, you know, it's early in the morning. I'm drawing a blank, brother D. But what I'm saying is that we need to thank Him in all things. You know, in all things. Let the Most High know that, you know, He's number one. That's what I was thinking. His will be done.
Well, yeah, that's a part of the Lord's Prayer that we say every morning before we get into our own words, because, after we say the Lord's Prayer, you need to express yourself. You need to let your feelings, your prayers be known, let your petitions be known, because we can boldly approach the throne. And He said, you have not because you ask not. So don't just stop at the Lord's Prayer, people. We've made it a point to pray three times a day. If we don't have an opportunity to really extend our hearts, we'll say the Lord's Prayer. But after you do that, pour out your heart before Him. Pour out your grievances, your frustrations, your fears, your apprehensions. That's the time to do it, because it's not relevant or necessary to pour out these feelings to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers. It's not going to do a thing for you. You're just venting and complaining and not being content with what the Most High has for you. He wants you to pour out all that to Him in the morning and then be done with it. Be done with it and trust Him and His wholeness and goodness. But what I want to say, according to what you were saying, is I know for a fact that the majority of you so-called believers, so-called Hebrews, Christians, whatever you want to call yourself, you don't really believe there's a hell and there's a lake of fire. You don't believe you'll be condemned to that place if you deny Him. There's so many people that really don't believe that because they're committing adultery and breaking the commandments that they're going to have to go there. They're leaning and hoping towards grace. But that's absurd. That's like going to the airport, not paying for a ticket, and hoping you'll catch a flight. How absurd is that? You best believe that if you do not obey Him, especially if you know about Him, because it said, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, it is sin. If you do not obey Him and adhere to His commandments, you will be going to hell, because the Bible says that hell enlarges itself daily. Why? Because of you that believe you're not going there. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And this is what I'm going to talk about today. You need to make sure that you're not the wrong way, because the Most High made it clear. Let's get this scripture real quick. You got something you want to add to that while I'm grabbing this scripture?
Yeah, I do. What you're talking about is not having a fear for the Most High. When they do all this stuff, figure that, you know, I lean on grace. They don't have fear for the Most High. And a lot of these man-made religions, that's the story they're giving to their people these days, is that there's no hell. And, you know, you don't have to worry about that. That what emboldens them to do the things that they do.
Right. You know, I had a young man who I grew up with who's a friend of mine. The last time I talked to him and was preaching this gospel to him, he told me I was a fear monger, that I was preaching fear. And you know what? I'm not going to deny it, because Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, said, here's the whole duty of man. Fear God. Fear the Most High and keep His commandments. If what I'm saying to you is causing you to get a little reverential fear inside you about changing your life, then call me a fear monger. They got a new word now. They call it, you're preaching fear porn. Fear porn. I don't know where this fear porn comes from, but they're using that down too. They want to like really tear it down from us preaching the truth. But if that's what you want to call me, I'll be that. So be it, because what it is that people don't want to believe there is a hell waiting on them.
But, you know, and the other thing is, though, the response to that, when people say, oh, you're scared of people. Well, you need to be scared. You know, you need to have that fear.
Right. Right. But nobody wants to have that. And see, what we do is we're supposed to internalize that fear and turn it around into obedience and respect. So that fear should be a stimulus and an inspiration for you to want to do right every day, because daily we're watching for him to come back, and people don't believe he's coming back like a thief in the night. And that means that what you're doing right now, he could come back and catch you doing that you're doing right now. But you keep thinking you got another day to get it right when you need to work on it right now, because a thief in the night means he'll catch you unprepared. He was trying to let you know that you need to be mindful that it can happen at any time. So you need to have a reverential fear that will cause you to look for him, wait on him, worship him, and pray for him. This is not happening.
Knowing this book and reading this book, that's just going to make them vulnerable for when the abomination of desolation appears in the temple over there, because he's going to do a few tricks and magic tricks and whatnot. And next thing you know, the whole world are there. Most of the whole world is going to be proclaiming him as God, because they don't realize that the Bible lays it all out. It tells you what's going to happen. It tells you that this man is going to pop up there. It also tells you how Yeshua is going to return to this world. If you're not reading this book, you're not going to know, and you're going to be fooled.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Let's get some of this real quick. Let's see. Do you have it?
I have it. What verse?
Okay. Let's start at the first verse.
Okay, first verse. Okay. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Yeshua is at hand.
That the day of the anointed one, the Mashiach, is at hand. He is on his way. But he's saying we're not to be shaken and stressed out by what we're hearing on the news and what's happening around us. See, there's a difference in the fear. There's the fear of Yah and the reverential fear. But we're not to be shaken by what HaShatan is doing. This is why I said, have no fear. I'm going to get into watch what you say in a second, but have no fear, neither by your spirit nor by the words that people are speaking, nor by letter as from us. He was even saying that, listen, don't let me scare you in that capacity, but know that the day of Christ is coming. Go ahead.
Yeah, and what do they always say that you guys been saying? They've been saying that through the ages, that the day of the Lord is at hand, or he's going to return, you know, so why should we believe that? But if you don't read this book and you realize that a day is 1,000 years to the Most High, then that's why that makes sense. You can see why, you know, when they say the day is at hand, that it is at hand, because, you know, we are at a different time schedule than the Most High. Because, like I said, a day is within 1,000 years as far as the Most High is concerned, you know, it is at hand. You know, we're close.
Well, not only that, I did hear this as a kid, that we're in the last days, we're in the last days. But if you understood the Bible and really read it, you'd understand that prophecy is being fulfilled all around us. And you would know that this truly is the last day, because we're looking at the signs of the times. And you don't know how to read it because you can't discern Bible prophecy. You only want to hold fast to certain scriptures. But if you look at political world events and you can look past the TV programming and correlate it with Bible prophecy, you would know we're drawing closer. And man doesn't even care. For him to venerate and validate H.R. 1242 and tell you on the news that, yes, we have reached the 400 years that the Bible references, come on now. They even know. And everybody's preparing themselves, which is why we have so much racial tension and strife in the world, because recompense is on the way.
And this is all about fulfilling prophecy. Because Yeshua, when Peter smote off the guy's ear, you know, Yeshua said, you don't think that I could have, I could call, I could speak to my father and have a legion of angels come down here to save him? But he said, no, he is here to fulfill prophecy. That's why it has to go the way it's going.
Right. Let's read verse 3.
Okay. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
So this is one thing to keep in mind, that we will see the son of perdition revealed. That's the Antichrist. He shall be revealed, and many will follow him and worship him and think he's the Messiah and the Christ. And many of you are prepped and prone to go that direction because your relationship and your faith is not at a par where it should be. I got Hebrews all on Facebook one day talking about I'm prayed up. They got a song called Boot Up. They talking about I'm prayed up and I'm prayed up. And then the next day they on the post talking about I throw in the towel. What kind of relationship with the Most High did you have or do you have? Because you're a fair weather friend to Yah. One day you're with him, the next day you're not with him. That's why I'm saying you better watch what you say, because I'm going to read this later. But when you start telling Yah, you got me, you can trust me, I love you, I say yes to your will, I'm all in, here comes the Job trial. And he's going to tell Satan that he can have you because you're getting ready to be tried because you told Yah you was all in. Yah said, okay, let's see. He don't tempt no man, but he knows that Satan can't touch you unless he gives him permission. And you need this because a trying of your faith will work patience. You don't sit up here and say, I'm all in, and make an open statement to your family, your spouse, your children, and then when a storm comes, you throw in the towel. You walk out on the Most High because you get fearful. That's not how this works. Verse 4. This is about the Antichrist. Go ahead.
All right, verse 4. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called Yah, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time.
Uh-huh.
7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he
that's right
who now letteth will let until he taken out of the way.
That's the restrainer of the Ruach that's holding things back. He cannot come in until the fullness of time. The Antichrist cannot present himself until the restraints are removed and he's allowed to come in and cause that great deception that's going to happen. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see, verse 8. And this shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Most High shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
That he's going to destroy the Antichrist and all those that follow him. But the thing is this, if you can't make it right now and you throw it in the towel now and you all in one day and you all out the next day, when that Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is removed and the Antichrist is on the scene and they're delivering people unto death because they won't worship him, what are you going to do then? Because you can't even stand right now. You don't even have a reverential fear right now. We're not practicing this. We're like at the gym working out and building up our most high holy faith. We're building up our faith, our resistance, our discernment, our knowledge of the word, because the word is how we're going to fight. We're putting on the full armor. And you keep taking off your armor. You keep taking off girding your loins with truth. You keep taking that off, the helmet and the breastplate. You keep putting it down because you're saying, I'm all in, then you're all out. And you're risking, you're playing craps. The odds are about as bad as the odds in the lotto right now. You're risking going to hell. You're risking going to hell in the lake of fire because you don't truly believe or want to stand on his promises. And this is very important. You are unstable. You're double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the scripture said, I would that you be either hot or cold, but you can't be lukewarm. How dare you play with the Most High like that? How dare you play with the Most High? This is real talk, folks. There are people dying in this world every 10 minutes, and they have to face judgment as soon as they die, and you're going to be judged on your exploits, and you're going one of two places eventually, into the kingdom with the eternal resurrection, or you're going to the lake of fire. This is temporal. You're dying right now. Your flesh, your body, you're dying right now. All of us have an appointment with death, and we can't cancel it, postpone it, or break it, and it could come at any given time. But you want to play with that. Let's keep reading the rest of this because there's something I want to get to.
Okay.
Verse 9.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved.
And many of you don't even want to hear the truth. Many don't even want to hear the truth that we preach. All you want to hear is, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I'm a chosen nation. I'm special. Now I can still do whatever I want. I don't have to go to church no more. I don't have to buy no suits no more. I can drink. I can have multiple wives. We can kick it. I can smoke. I can get high. Turn up Hebrew. Yahoo! All this crazy stuff. But no sanctification, no separation, no dedication, no commitment, no inspiration. You are not a representation of the Most High, who cannot even be in the presence of sin. He can't stand any aspects of sin. And every day you just have to, every day you're wrestling with your thoughts and your mind. Half the times the way you think, Most High don't even want to be around you or allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in your body because your thoughts are out of control. You haven't mastered how to cast down your imaginations and your thoughts. Why? Because you have no discipline according to the commandments of Yah, which means you don't really fear him or love him. This thing is serious, people. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, you must be on point of doing his will and being submitted to him. You don't get to take a vacation. Because like I said earlier in the show, if you try to take a vacation on Yah, that vacation will lead to the eternal vacation resort known as the hot spot resort, hot fire, licks of fire hotel. You're going to get an eternal body that's going to have to live in, that's going to have to live with licks of fire. Listen to this, where you're about to go. Because they receive not the love of truth, because you disobey him, because you don't want to obey him, because you want to be hot one week and be preaching precepts, and then the next week you're like, I need a break because I'm going through it. Well, Job went through it and didn't throw in the towel, but you throwing in the towel, Job lost everything. Check this out. Job represents us. Job got rich. The Most High waited until he blessed him with everything he ever wanted and then took it all. And you complaining about, I got to go to work. I got to take care of some things for my mom and daddy. And my kids is cutting up. And, you know, y'all just pray for me, man. I'm just going to shut up. I don't want to hear that. Where's the praise part? Where's the praise party. I can't hear the pity party thing. We can't do it, Brother D. We can't sit up here and have a pity party with people because we're all going to go through things. It's all about how you position yourself, how you look at it, and what your perspective is. Because he said, in all things, give thanks. He said, count it all joy. He said, you need to learn how in that place, wherever you are, to be content and to worship me. So what you have to do is be able to look at what's coming, the blessing, and the blessings that you already received in the past, and know that he's able to bring you out. So the best part is worshiping and praising him and saying, I know you got me. I know you got me. This only is a temporal. This only lasts for a season. This is but for a minute. I will come through. You cannot get yoked until you go to the gym, lift weights for weeks and 2 weeks, have some pain, no gain. But you do it with joy because you know the finished result. I don't want to hear your crying and your pity party because there's not one of us who's not going through something at some point in our life. Now, let's get this because you don't accept the truth. Yeah.
Before we go there, if I can just get a witness here, Isaiah 48:10 says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. You know, just like you said, what happened with Job, you know, he's going to try us. He's going to test us. Most High wants to make sure that, you know, you're not in there just because this is the flavor of the day. You're in this for the long haul.
There you go. He wants to make sure that he can bless you. He wants to make sure that you know that he's got you and you got him. He already knew what Abraham was going to do with Isaac, but that was for Abraham. He already had a ram in the bush. He was looking for obedience, which is better than the sacrifice. That's what he wants to see. That's what he wants to see. He's already made provision, but will you obey him? Because he wasn't going to let Abraham sacrifice his only begotten son. That's what he was going to do thousands of years later. But he wanted to see if the obedience was there to show people that, see, Abraham, I got him. Matter of fact, he told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Go ahead, try him. Because see, I know I got him. But some of y'all telling the Most High, you got me. And as soon as the trial come, y'all done dropped out. I got brothers I done sojourned with and walked with. I don't know where the hell they at right now.
So Abraham's faith in the Most High, when he was going to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham know that the Most High can do anything. He sacrificed his son. Most High can bring him back to life. And Abraham just had that faith in the Most High that things, no matter what happened, just like we said, his will be done. That it was going to turn out fine for him as long as he obeyed the Most High.
Brother D,
so we're ready for 11. Okay, in this next one, 11, like I said, you see this every day. You know, especially, you see this every day with people who have this strong delusion. But 11, and for this cause, Yah shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie.
Stop. Pause.
Yep.
First thing that happens is everybody wants to rebuke the devil. But the Most High said, I'm going to send it. Because I gave you instruction, you didn't want to obey me, and you want to stay in the lust of your flesh. I found out that most of the people that preach these heresies about Joseph being the daddy and everything, in the background of their life, they're struggling with some other addictional sin, lust, adultery, fornication, and they don't want to let it go, and they don't want to obey Yah. And so this is why they want to push a mute point and a heretical doctrine to cover up a multitude of sins. And the Most High said, I will let them believe that. This is why we are foolish when we sit up and debate with people the word. He said, avoid them. Don't debate. It's foolish to debate with them because they have been turned over to this delusion. And there's nothing you can do to take it off. Because he said, for this cause, because they disobey me, because they don't want to receive the love of the truth, and they don't want to be saved, and they are not doing right. It says, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness, them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. He said, for this cause, I'm going to send it. I'm going to send it. I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to let them believe homosexuality is okay. I'm going to let them believe that they don't have to be baptized.
like IUIC. I'm going to let them believe that Joseph is the daddy when he said, I am the one that's in the flesh that I call Jesus Christ. God came in the flesh and became that. They don't even understand the precepts, but he said, I'm going to turn them over to heretical doctrine because they're in disobedience and they're in sin. I told them to stop. They don't want to stop. They want to stay in drunkenness. They want to keep getting high. They want to keep doing pharmakia. They want to go have some illicit extramarital sex every now and then. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn you over to that. And it's amazing to me the homosexuals that justify their abominable sin. And now I know why, because he said, this is how you want to live, and you think it's okay, and you think I approve of it, I'm going to turn you over to it. That's why you got a church full of homosexuals in the Christian church that believe it's okay, and they marry each other because they've been turned over to strong delusion. And you know why? Because of verse 12, that they all might be damned. Don't want to believe the truth. Most High said, I'm damning you. I'm letting you believe what you want to believe, and you are damned to the lake of fire. You're damned. You're done. So they're turned over to a reprobate mind. They are damned. And he did it. He sent it. Do you see that, Brother D?
I see it. And, you know,
but have pleasure, they have pleasure in doing wrong. So that's why half the times when I'm listening to these debates, I'm like, my discernment is like, this Negro can't even get his house together. This Negro living in sin. This one is in adultery. This one's in fornication. This one's doing this. Why am I debating with him about baptism and everything else? He's not even following the commandments and living right. He's not even keeping the holy days. He's not even keeping the Shabbat. What am I arguing with you for? Most High done brought you this strong delusion. There's no need of me even debating with you because you don't believe the truth. You are damned. I'm going to pray for you, brother, that you wake up, sister, that you wake up. You can't dabble in sin and dabble with the commandments. You can't have the holy and the unholy. There's no hot water and cold water, talking about warm water. You cannot have righteousness and unrighteousness. They cannot coexist. What are you doing with your life?
You know, you're right. And that's because these same people will say, well, you know, God loves everybody, you know, despite my infirmities. That saying about, well, he hates sin, but he loves the sinner. No, the Most High hates the sinner too, because you are in sin. You're transgressing his law.
Man, let's get that scripture in the Apocrypha. It's in the Apocrypha where he hates the sin and the sinner. It's in the Apocrypha. See if you can find that real quick. Because while you're looking for that, I want to read this scripture, Proverbs 16:4. The Most High hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. I made all things for myself. And guess what? I made the wicked for the evil day. Let me break that down. I'm not just talking about the day of the Lord. I'm talking about the evil day that comes upon you when you're trying to walk to your job or your car and you get hit in the head, you get robbed, you get mugged, or you take a loss with your money, or you lose your job, everything else, or somebody comes at you and attacks you. He made that person. That day that was so bad for you and the person that caused it, he made that person and sent them on you. Why did that come on you? Because obviously you found yourself in a place where you were disobedient, broke the laws and commandments, and was living in sin. And you talking about things just ain't going my way. I'm really going through it. Y'all pray for me. I'm being attacked. You're not going to be attacked. Yah is not going to send the wicked thing on you if you're walking in righteousness. Because no weapon formed against you can prosper. But when you're walking in unrighteousness, trying to deceive people and make them think you're living holy and living right, that's why all hell's breaking loose. When you are living for the Most High, you don't have to worry about what's happening in the world. And because the world is full of wickedness. It said, woe unto the inhabitants of the world, because Satan hath come down having great wrath. And he said that I have turned over the earth into the hands of the wicked. But guess what? The wicked cannot touch the righteous They do not have permission unless the Most High gives them permission. And when he gives them permission, it's because he trusts you will stand. After you've done all you can to stand, you've got to stand. He trusts that you'll be like Job and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, and know that he'll bring you out. But the evil day, the wicked, that would only come from Yah, and he's not going to release that on his babies unless he's trying to chastise them or he needs to bless you. And he knows that you have the ability to come through. I hope that makes sense to you.
Ecclesiasticus 12:6. For the Most High hateth sinners, and will repay vengeance unto the ungodly, and keepeth them against the mighty day of their punishment. And if I can read 7:2, it says, give unto the good, and help not the sinner.
So wait, man, read, hold on. Read both of them again. Okay. Like, tell the people.
Ecclesiasticus.
Hold on. Let me explain. Let me qualify this. This is in the Apocrypha, which is not an extra biblical book. The Apocrypha was taken out by the Nicene Council, all 14 books that were originally in the 1611 King James Version Bible, and they took it because it has too much truth. Do not believe the lies that these religions are telling you, that the Apocrypha is not to be used or it's not inspired by Yah. It is. There's a few verses that people don't understand, like burning fish liver and guts will chase away spirits. And they say they throw out the whole book because they don't understand one scripture. Don't be deceived. This is the word of Yah. Ecclesiasticus, written by Solomon. Can you read that, please, again?
Ecclesiasticus 12:6-7. 6, for the Most High hated sinners and will repay vengeance unto the ungodly, and keepeth them against the mighty day of their punishment. Verse 7, give unto good, unto the good, and help not the sinner. And the Most High tells you, don't help the sinner. So what makes you think he loves the sinner?
He don't love the sinners, and we're not to even help the sinners. Do y'all hear that? See, humanitarian efforts are a mask to make the world think that they're righteous while they're living in sin. And we get caught up into humanitarian efforts and try to duplicate what the other people are doing. We're supposed to bless the believers and Hebrews. And when we do it, we're supposed to do it in secret. We don't get caught up into what this world does, because it's a falsehood to bring glory to themselves, make them think they own par and they're good and they're righteous, while behind closed doors they're doing all manner of evil and wickedness. They do this to try to appease their conscience, deceive people, and throw them off from what this is saying right here. We're not even to help people that sin habitually. And he told you why in 6. I don't love sinners. I don't love sinners and hate the sin. I hate the sinner and the sin. He has nothing to do with these people that go to church every Sunday, effeminate, men switching in the choir, and women dressing like men and acting like men. He has nothing to do with them. You know why we read it this morning? Their prayer, the people who turneth their ear from hearing the law, their prayer is an abomination. He's not even trying to hear what they got to say. That scripture, I believe, is found in, let me see if I can still locate that.
While you're doing that, relay something to you, because I had a relative who's in the gay lifestyle, and they were going through some issues. And this morning, I'm saying my prayers. I'm starting to pray for them, but I said, wait a minute. I stopped myself when I was doing that, because I'm saying, you know, they're not living the life, but they're living an abominable life. You know, the Most High doesn't want me praying for him to help them, because he's not going to. So like I said, you have to think about what you're doing when you're praying.
Absolutely. That's a good point. That's a very good point, because he's not going to hear it. Proverbs 28:9, whoever turns his ear away from hearing the law, which is the word of Yah, his prayer is an abomination. He's not even trying to hear your prayer. That's the prayer that goes to the ceiling and comes back down. You don't want to hear none of that. He has nothing to do with abomination. You don't even want to hear the law. You don't want to submit to it. You don't want to turn your way. We know he cries out against homosexuality in the book of Leviticus, but they want to take that book out and throw it away and say it's a hate speech. No, it's not a hate speech. Most High don't play that. He did not create men to be abusers of men, of themselves, and women with women. He did not make that. And he can't hear your prayer. And Ecclesiastes 12 and 6 says, he don't love you. I got no love for those. And he told us not to help them. First, the only thing we can do for them is tell them, repent. Here's what you got to do is repent. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins and turn from your wicked ways and draw nigh unto Yah.
Brother V, what did that, just so you said you want to throw that book out, what did that heathen say to us that night, saying that Leviticus was a dirty book because he didn't agree with what was going on in there and some of the stuff that was brought up? They don't want to believe that because just like it says, they want to make what's good bad and what's bad is good.
Here we go. I got one for you. I'm about to drop a dime. You ready?
I'm ready.
The law of God, the law of Yah is an enemy of the state.
Hallelujah.
They hate it with a passion. They want this Bible to be removed because the law of Yah is an enemy of the state. And that's where we're going. And they can't remove it because guess what? It's all inside of us. And that's why thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You could take away these Bibles and burn them and ban them. But just like the book of Eli, he memorized that whole book in Braille and it was in him and he was able to recite the whole thing. We are living, hallelujah, we are living epistles read of by men. And that word, whew, we are that word. And it lives inside of us. You can take this book away, but you can't take it out my mind, my heart, my spirit, because I'm walking in it, I'm breathing it, I'm living it, and I shall proclaim it all of my life, all of my days. And that's what we're expected to do. That's what we have to do. All praises to the Most High.
All praises. We're still on 2 Thessalonians?
No. We're done with that.
Okay. All right. I didn't know. I thought we were going to read that whole chapter. Okay.
No,
all right.
That's good. We covered the crux of what I wanted to get out, which is the strong delusion and tied in with everything else we said. Wickedness comes from Yah and who he loves, man. We covered some nuggets. I want the people to understand and digest that and run and understand that because this is not the hour to be vacillating and trying to decide if you're all in. There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere to run. Why are you playing with your eternal soul? Why are you playing with your eternal soul? People tell me, well, I guess I'm just going to hell. Well, I'll just go to the lake of fire. I guess I'm just going to burn. You don't even know what you're saying to yourself. Worms,
exactly.
Brother,
if I can say...
I just want to say, the scripture tells us in Revelation that worms will be eaten at your body and you will burn forever, but your body will not be consumed. You're going to be in eternal torment. You have no idea of the type of torment you're facing if you deny this. You got to understand this is real. Go ahead, Brother G.
Yeah, no, what you said is right. I've heard people say that. Well, I guess I'll just have to go to the lake of fire. They have no idea what they're saying, none whatsoever, because, you know, people say, well, when my time comes. Yeah, but, you know, the Most High is giving you time to get it right. You got to use that time wisely. And for those people saying that, you know, if it happens, it's happened, you know, you got to realize we're not talking about, you know, like you're just going to die and that's it. You go to a lake of fire, that's eternal. You know, so you have no idea what you're saying when a person says that.
You know what, Brother D? It's a demon that's got them talking foolish like that because think about this. There's not one person you know that will get on it. I'm going back to the airport analogies. There's not one person you know that will get on an airplane that they've been told, okay, now we want you to know that this plane is definitely going to crash somewhere about the time it crosses Texas. Okay, so you ready to board? Come on, let's do it. There's not one person you know that will get on a plane knowing it's going to crash. But they want to talk that mess to you and me, talking about, I'll just take my chances. I'll just go to hell and burn. They're lying. It's a spirit that has overtaken them of arrogance, and they will live to regret those words.
Because it goes back to what you said at the beginning. It goes back to what you said at the beginning, that they don't believe that there's a hell and that there's a lake of fire.
That's right. That's right. And Satan has got you so consumed in your sin that you talk foolish like that. And you will burn like a hell, like a fool in the flames of fire. And if you really believe that, you should get on the plane that you know is going to crash, because that's what you're pretty much saying. You care less about your life. Get on a plane that only has a quarter tank of gas and try to fly to Paris. Go to Africa. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah, take their chances. But just like you said, they won't get on that plane. But then they'll take that chance with something that's going to affect them for an eternity. But just like you said, because they don't believe that it exists, because they still lay on that, well, God loves everything. No, God, I know that I would love what subject me to this. You know what? It's not about us. He can do whatever he wants to do with his creation.
That's right. That's right. Well, I just want to say to the people, I hope you take to heart these things we're saying, because we're trying to talk to you and plead with you about your eternal soul. And as far as you're complaining and that you're going through a trial, I got a few words for you. I'm not trying to hear that. Get in line. I'm not trying to hear that. There's one thing we do is we press toward the mark, forgetting those things that are behind us. We press towards the mark. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and take control of your life through the working of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, because he's still a deliverer. He's still a savior. And if you reach out to him, he will hold fast to his promises. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Either you're in it, are you not in it? That's the bottom line. If another person walk up to me again and say I'm all in, I might slap them upside the head and be like, do you realize what you just said? Because I'm tired of lip service. Don't even say it, because I realize that most people that say they are not. They are not. Half of you that say I'm all in, you don't fast every week. You don't fast 2 or 3 days. You don't even fast once a month. You don't even pray, but you all in. You try to have a relationship with some woman and don't make a sacrifice for her or talk to her every day and see how that relationship go. What makes you think that this jealous God we serve, Yah, don't want you talking to him a few times a day to check in on him and see how he doing? This has gotten ludicrous, what you people are doing and how you're living and saying you know Yah and you got your fringes on. Take them fringes off. You look foolish. I'm done with it because I'm about to go off.
Well, just to bless him, and you go and you talk to him, just to bless him and thank him and give him all the honor and glory. You got to do that. Just like you said, he's a jealous God, you know, and what his is his, and he doesn't want it being given to anyone else. You can't go out there, you know, worshiping other gods or believing in the things of the world. No, you either belong to him or you don't.
That's right. Bottom line, that's it. Man, all praises. Well, good words, good scriptures, good precepts. I pray that you all take it to heart, that you get past your hump day, that you all have a blessed day. And that you keep on pushing, being optimistic, and live as if he's coming. Don't let people tell you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Ak. You know, we ain't got to trip on nothing until we see a few more of these prophecies come to pass. And you know, the Antichrist got to sit in that temple first, which is giving you a relaxed state of mind. Well, every day is the last days, because today might be your last day. So let's get it straight. Let's get it straight. You better serve him with all your heart. Got any final comments?
No, all I have is that, just like you said, you know, we have to get it right, because you know you could say we're waiting on this prophecy or that prophecy. Well, don't worry about it right now, because that hasn't happened. But You got to practice being right, you know, because if you're doing the wrong things now, you're going to keep on, you're going to do it when the man of son of perdition shows up. You're going to be doing things. So, well, we still got this other one that's got to come to pass. No, you need to be working on that now and not talking about I'll do it later on. But, you know, it's all praises to the Most High, and I pray that everyone out there get to the point to where they want to live that righteous life and they strive to live that righteous life. Because I know I'm really trying.
Ain't nothing to it but to do it. Remember that one?
Yep, I remember that one. where do you think Nike got that from? Just do it.
That's right. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. Just go ahead and do it. You know, we ain't got to try. Just do it. If you fall, get back up again. All right, everybody. Y'all have a blessed Wednesday. Shalom, shalom to you. Most High blessing keep you and keep your head looking for him and towards him.
Shalom, Brother V.
Shalom, Brother V.
Keep your head.